Now, here is a critical question for parents. Have you prepared a way back home for your children who've strayed? Now, we may not be able to control the free choices of our children. We will give them all the counsel that we can. We'll give them all the advice and even the discipline, but in the end, they're gonna make their own choices. And if we learn from God and how He deals with His straying children, we can make sure that there will always be a pathway home for our children to find their way back.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero. Today, we're going to take you to Pastor Wayne's farm in Oregon for a message he taped a while back. It's a message entitled, When Your Children Stray. Here now is Pastor Wayne.
Hi, welcome to our orchard. We've got some apples and some
Hi, Papa.
Pears.
What are you doing?
What? I'm talking about kids just like you.
Okay. I love you.
I love you too. Bye. Wouldn't you love it if kids just freeze-dried at that age? Question is, what do you do when they grow up, and not only when they grow up, what do you do when they grow up and stray? We're going to be talking about what parents can do. Stay with us. When anyone talks about today's youth, you can find an abundance of reports and statistics about the disintegration of our youth. And according to naysayers, our youth spend way too much money, spend too much time on the internet, they grow up too fast, and they live too loose, and they know too little. Seems like today's youth are quite a handful. Listen to this summary. Our youth now love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, and they show disrespect for elders. They love to chatter in the place of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their households. They no longer rise when the elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, gobble up their food, and tyrannize their teachers. That sounds like something that came right out of the most recent Parents magazine, doesn't it? Actually, Socrates penned that in 399 BC. In other words, we haven't changed that much in over 2,500 years. So, you ask, how do we deal with youth? Mark Twain, I love his quote. He had an answer, and he said, when a child turns 10, you should put him in a barrel and feed him through a hole. And when he turns 13, plug up the hole. Actually, all through the Bible, we meet children who stray. In fact, it started with the very first children, Adam and Eve. And who they were went straight to their babies, Cain and Abel. They broke the rules, they rebelled, and ultimately committed murder. And that was just the first set of children for humankind. Next, take a look at Abraham and his children, Ishmael and Isaac. They caused a family feud so deep that their descendants are still fighting today. In fact, they're the predecessors of the Middle East conflict. And now there are literally millions of people impacted by this family feud. Take a look at other disobedient kids, Gideon or Samson, and Eli's two sons. All these went astray. And then there were King David's kids. Remember Absalom, Solomon, Amnon, and Tamar? A true life story of intrigue, scandal, and mutiny so thick it rivals the best of our soap operas. The Bible is filled with stories of children who have strayed. And you ask, why is that? Sometimes kids stray because of a lack of discipline or parental control, but not always. Because when you think about it, even the most perfect father has rebellious children. That's us. Just ask yourself a simple question. Haven't I gone astray from my parents or from God when I was growing up? Sure, we all have. The reality is that all of us have strayed from our Heavenly Father. But here's the good news. God has always provided a way for us to find our way back to Him. You see, our Heavenly Father not only makes sure that there's a way home, He also leaves the light on for us. Then He goes the extra mile by coming out and looking for us. Just like the Father did with the prodigal son, so does the Lord's eyes seek after us day and night, waiting for us to come back home to Him. Now, here is a critical question for parents. Have you prepared a way back home for your children who've strayed? Now, we may not be able to control the free choices of our children. We will give them all the counsel that we can. We'll give them all the advice and even the discipline. But in the end, they're going to make their own choices. And if we learn from God and how He deals with His straying children, we can make sure that there will always be a pathway home for our children to find their way back. Have you left the light on? Are you searching for your kids on the horizon, straining your eyes and hearts for their return? Are you praying vigilantly on their behalf? Mark Twain once quipped, "When I was a boy of 17, my father was so ignorant. I could hardly stand to have the old man around," he said, "but when I got to be 25, I was astonished at how much my old man had learned in just 7 years." A beautiful example of a child who strayed is told in the book of Luke in the story of the prodigal son. But as much as it's an account of a wayward son, it's also a compelling story of the compassionate father. This is the classic story of a good father who raised his kids well. Then one day, the younger son said to his father, "I want the inheritance that belongs to me," he said. "Give me what you owe me." And so the father gave his son an early inheritance. Then Luke 15 and verse 13 reveals what followed. It reads, "Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. And because of that, he was flat broke and without a friend in the world. No surprise that fast friends come with fast money and then they disappear just as quickly. And then to make matters worse, a severe famine hit the country. This wayward boy found himself in desperate need. The young man had to go and find a job. So he was hired by a farmer who sent him to feed pigs. And while he was there feeding the swine, longing to fill his own stomach with the very food that the pigs were eating, this wayward son finally hit rock bottom. He came to his senses and he said to himself, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? And here I am, dying of hunger. I know what I'm going to do," he said. "I'm going to get up and go back to my father, and I'm going to say to him, 'Dad, I've sinned. I messed up. I made a mistake against God and you.'" In every straying, wayward child's journey, there will come a dead end. And that's often God's way of bringing us back to our senses. Dead ends. As parents, we hope and pray it'll be sooner than later that our straying children come to that point in their journey where it says dead end or U-turn. The question is, when they do, will there be a pathway by which they can find their way home? Well, this was true for the prodigal son. His father had deposited a good foundation, everything he could, to support his son's decisions, and it was put into his son's heart early on. You see, the father could not control his son or his decision for the future that he made. Because his son was of age, he can't control his choices. But notice that even when the son left, the father didn't run after him. He knew that his son would have to find that within himself. Sooner or later, he'd have to make that decision. So instead of dictating what he should do, the father simply prepared a pathway so that his son could find his way back home when he did come to his senses. And just how did this prodigal son's father do that? Well, by early on modeling love, fairness, and compassion at home, and by pouring these things into his son at an early age, that when he came to the crossroads, he'd have something from which to draw. And because of that, his son was able to say, I know what I'm doing, and this time I've decided to go home. I'm going to talk to my dad, and I'm going to tell him that I realize I messed up. He knew he could always go home. The best book on parenting is the Bible. Actually, there's no better book on any subject or any topic than the Bible. If you're a CEO of a company, the Bible is the best business book you can find. It's the best book on marriage or developing people skills or problem solving. It's the best because it contains unchanging, non-negotiable, eternal principles of God. Someone once said it this way, methods are many, principles are few. Methods always change, principles never do. And that's what the Bible does. And it always gives us wonderful step-by-step instructions. So always, wherever you go, come back to the Word of God. So how does the Bible tell us to lay that strong foundation beforehand so that a rebellious child would want to come back home? Let me give you three principles that we can follow in raising our children. And always remember, it's never too late. Even if they're already grown or gone, start today. You say, but what if my kid's strayed and doesn't deserve any second chance? I remember a play called Raisin in the Sun. It's a play involving an African-American mother whose husband dies and leaves a small inheritance behind. Now, the mom's dream is to move herself and her two children out of the Chicago slums into a new home in the suburbs, complete with window boxes and geraniums. But that dream is about to fade. You see, one day her son came to her and said, Mama, I got a friend who said if I invested our inheritance with him within 3 months, we will double our investment. Mama said, Son, that don't sound good. He says, oh, Mama, he's done it with other people dozens of times. I checked. Now, although Mama is skeptical, she finally relents, gives him the money, and as things go, that friend runs off with the money and leaves them with nothing. The son, of course, discouraged and forlorn, returns home to tell his woeful tale to his mother, how he had lost his family's inheritance and dashed their dreams. Brokenhearted, he goes up to his room and cries. He's just crushed. Now, Bernitha is his sister. She's downstairs yelling at her mother about her brother's foolishness. And after a barrage of terse words about his foolishness and about her undeserving brother, Mama stops her and says something I'll never forget. She said, Child, ain't I taught you nothing? About what, Bernitha replied, about love. Love, she fired back. He don't deserve our love. Child, the mother said, child. When do you think people need love the most? When they're on the mountaintop? When everyone is giving them an applause? When they've won trophies? When everything is going good and the sun is shining bright? Or is it when they're in the valley, when they've lost everything, when they have been beaten in their soul and no one wants to call them a friend, when they can't even find their way home, and when they're so down deep that they can't find their way back up because the world has whipped them so. Child, if you ain't learned that, you ain't learned nothing. Think about that. I think, What a mom. That's when people need love the most. Remember, as the old saying goes, you can teach what you know, but ultimately we're going to reproduce what we are. Just like eye color or physical looks, we reproduce in our kids sort of what we are. And that goes for the things we believe and the things that we do. Those are the most important things that we'll be passing on. And you, you're the first and foremost model your children will ever see. And as their parent, you're the primary person your children will look to for guidance on almost any subject. Your life will become their textbook for how to live. Kids won't follow our instructions as much as they will follow our convictions. You see, our instructions are birthed out of what we think. Convictions are birthed out of how we live. Our kids will not always blindly follow our religious beliefs, but their tendency will be to follow our lifestyle. Our kids will naturally do as we do, even the bad stuff, and not necessarily listen to the rules that we speak. Here's a word for moms and dads. Parents, remember, make this your goal in life. Dads, to be a good husband and a great father. That's it. Moms, to be a good wife and a great mother. That's it. Everything else is secondary when you think about it, because we all have various goals and purposes and objectives that we want to achieve. However, let this be your greatest goal above all other goals. God will honor you because He delights in you prioritizing relationships over money or real estate or position. Work hard to maintain a great family because no amount of success in the marketplace will ever make up for failure at home. Remember that song? Teach your children well. That's not just the lyrics of a well-known song. It's the truth. God wants us to teach our children well. To teach has to do with instruction. To disciple has to do with instruction bolstered and backed up by the instructor's lifestyle. That's the word disciple. Now, it includes the word discipline. Discipline can be defined as setting parameters that'll give direction towards a preferred future. Now, those parameters are often called boundaries, and we need to set those parameters early on so that our kids know their limits and move towards a preferred future. Of course, children push back when they bump up against those boundaries. However, what I found is this. Children are not opposed to authority as much as they're opposed to inconsistent authority. In other words, we live one way and preach something else, or we tell them, do as I say, but not as I do. That's a hard package to sell, but it's even a harder package for our kids to buy. Stories told of a father who discovers that his son is doing drugs, grabs him by the collar, shoves him up against the wall, and he yells, "You are a liar! You told me you weren't doing drugs! Look at you! You're strung out and addicted! You're a liar! You are a liar!" Just then the phone rings, and his wife says, "Honey, it's for you! Tell him I'm not home!" He says, "You're a liar, kid! You're a liar!" Let me ask you, who taught his son to lie? The drugs? Or the dad? You see, we're going to model what we believe, and regardless of what we say. That's why kids don't rebel against authority as much as they rebel against inconsistent authority. And discipline is setting firm, immovable parameters that will help our children be guided to a preferred future. Let's get practical on how you can leave the light on. So let me give you three principles, and here's the first. The first is this: watch and pray. These two go together. Pray. Let me correct that. Pray like crazy, and then watch. For what? Watch for signs of their return, any tendency towards leaning towards home. See, the father in the prodigal son story kept watching and praying expectantly. And when the son returned, why, the father was right there to meet him. So keep checking the horizon for any glimpse of the wayward one returning home. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, for example, there might come a time when that child will just call and say, hey, Dad, or hey, Mom, just wanted to call and say hi. See, that's a glimmer. Watch for it, be alert, and when you see it, take the initiative to reach out. Ask, hey, what are you doing for lunch? Let's get together. Just want to see how you're doing. What do you say? See, what you're doing is you're learning to shine a light on the pathway home to help it. The second principle, then pray for godly influencers to enter your child's life. That's right, godly influencers. You see, to my wayward child, I may not be their favorite counselor or advisor, right now anyway. He doesn't want to hear anything I have to say. That's why it's important for you to pray for godly influencers to be around them in their workplace or among their friends or even in their various sports activities. So pray for godly influencers in your child's life. And the third principle to remember is that our ultimate goal for our child, our prodigal, is not getting them to repent or ask for forgiveness or come back home on their knees. No, the ultimate goal is for their salvation with Christ. See, when their hearts are changed, they will have an inner self-monitoring system that's now being guided by the Holy Spirit Himself. Think about it. Hearts are not going to be changed by a greater justice or a jail system or condemnation, restrictions, or education, or more knowledge. Only Christ can truly change hearts. And that should be the greatest hope for every parent. So please remember this. Their eternal life is more important than their success in life. You see, that is our greatest hope for our kids. As we sum all of this up, remember this. Even the most perfect father has wayward children, but he's never given up on us. It may have taken years, but we returned. Prodigals can return. So don't give up on your straying child. Don't think that since they've wandered, they're gone forever. No. Remember that the ultimate goal is their salvation. Even if they don't find their way home to you, pray that they'll find their way home to God. So don't give up. It's not over until God takes us home to be with Him in heaven, so there's much yet that we can do. And the question is not if I could only change my past. No, the real question is how can I live better from this point onward? You're not done yet. There's much that you can do. So let God come alongside you and help you with your kids, especially when they stray. And remember, you're not raising your kids alone. God's there as well. And together, we can raise a godly generation who will also raise up in their time another godly generation. There would be no greater delight to the heart of our Heavenly Father. And if we can help, contact us here at New Hope. We will be delighted to, alongside with our Heavenly Father, to walk with you in seeing God bring our prodigals back home.
You've just heard a message entitled, When Your Children Stray, by Pastor Wayne Cordero. If the acoustics sounded a little different today, it's because Pastor Wayne taped this message on his farm in Oregon. If today's message struck a chord with you, perhaps you have children who are causing you sleepless nights, Pastor Wayne has a booklet entitled, When Your Children Stray. You can purchase it online at enewhope.org. Just click on the Resources tab and go to the online store. In fact, you may want to purchase several copies to give to friends who are going through similar struggles, and then see what God will do in your families. Again, that's enewhope.org, and click on the Resources tab. The booklet is called When Your Children Stray. Now, you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with the click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope Christian Fellowship, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.